You might like to turn in your Bible, please, to the book of Deuteronomy and chapter 2. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you again for your personal involvement. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for thy word. Spirit of God, we think of all those in the highway and other things in trouble with the weather and all of that. God, help them. Thank you for being there. Thank you very much. So we're looking to you. God help us. In Christ's name, amen. In our little bit of late, we're trying to remind ourselves, we shared in Deuteronomy, God gives the refresher course, Deuteronomy, to the people of Israel on the 40th year. It's all done very quickly, the book of Deuteronomy. It's to be able to have the Israelites to prepare their heart for the crossing of the Jordan. They are to go forward. They are to go forward with zest and zeal. All the people that kept it from going forward have died. And in chapter 2 of Deuteronomy, reminding us, Chapter 2 and verse 13. And rise up, as I said, and get you over the brook Zared. And we went over the brook Zared. And the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Jared was 38 years, until all the generation of the men of war were wasted out from among the host, for the Lord had swear unto them. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them to destroy them from among the host until they were consumed. Verse 16, and it came to pass when all the men of war were consumed and dead from among the people. So what's going to happen? All 40, remember, everyone had to die. They had a 40-year sentence, as it were, in which to die. And around and around and around they went in the wilderness for 38 years. They went around and around. And in the process of doing that, they could not go forward. They might have wanted to and wished to, but they couldn't advance. They couldn't do it. The 40 years had to be finished, and everyone that had violated 20 years old and up in their unbelief, in discouraging the people of Israel from entering the land, had to die. They never would see the land. They never would see Egypt, and they would never see the land. They were stuck in the middle, and they died. Now, and God honors, no progress. In no way we could change. Noah took 120 years in building the ark. There's no way to say, well, we'll quit and at 115. Nope, he had to go 120. When it comes to the seven-year tribulation before the millennium, you can't go 6.5 years. You can't do that. You have to wait. So if you had a clock and you started watching the clock, you have to wait for 7 years. At 7 years, you better be on your toes. But now Israel is free. They have not been free. They could not go. Much as they wished and wanted Caleb and Joshua, you just can't go. Now, so they all had to die in the process. After 430 years in Egypt, 40 years in the wilderness, all of it is old, all of it is what is past, all of it is all finished. They had to go on to that which was new, very, very new. And the shoes we shared together, they walked around in, their feet never had a problem for 40 years. Their shoes never wore out. They're wearing the same shoes now when they cross the Jordan River. They're going to go to battle. And as far as we know, the shoes are the same. So now, in the process of all of that, keeping that in mind, shoes didn't wear out. And they could not have Egypt. You never can go back to Egypt. They could never go back to Egypt. They could never go back to the wilderness. That's a wonderful thing. They could never go back. Now, when you get saved, if you truly, truly know the Lord as your Savior, you can't be unsaved. You won't wish you were unsaved. Then something's wrong. But if you're truly, truly saved, you can't be unsaved. Israel can't be anything other than the nation God intended it to be. And God has a wonderful place for it in the land. Place, promise, power. God had it for them. Over where you're in Deuteronomy. Over to chapter 32. Chapter 32 in Deuteronomy. Picking up, please, in verse 8, among many places to look at. Just to remind you, Israel was given a given piece of property. They could have no other. Israel cannot go to South America as people would wish. To go to someplace else in the world, Israel belongs in one place, in one piece of property, the only piece of property Israel can have. Jerusalem can never be another Jerusalem. It must be Jerusalem in the land of Palestine. So now, here in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 8, God rehearsing all the stuff they needed to know. And I pick up, please, in verse 7. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided to the nations, Genesis chapter 10, divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to what? Here everyone's going all over the place, as it were. According to what? According to the number of the children of Israel. God, everyone for Israel and the world, was in a given place at a given time. Israel has its place. Wonderful place in the land of Palestine. Now, having said that, and God has given them that land, Joshua chapter 1. Remember, God has given them this land. So God has given it, made a promise and given it to them. And in Joshua chapter 1, verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise and go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give. I'm continuing to give, handing out, put your hand out and handing it to people. I'm giving you this land to them, even to the children of Israel. So God had given them the land way back here, but they couldn't have it until it was finished. Until all the people, men died in the wilderness. And now they had a green light to go forward. And the green light was not something new. It was already given to them. All they had to do was proceed forward. Now, keeping in mind, and we share together, think of all the things that God has given to you. If you know the Lord as your Savior. By the way, let's start off with it differently. God has given you a wonderful Savior if you claim it. You don't have to hunt for one. You don't have to beg for one. You don't have to get up, hunt all over the world, or like Deuteronomy 30, you don't have to run everywhere in heaven, earth, and under the earth to find one. God has given you a wonderful Savior. God, if you're saved, God has given you a wonderful life. That life is to be lived now. There's nothing to be fulfilled. Christ died on the cross and it is finished. God has given you peace, joy, love, power. What hasn't God given you? Not He's going to give you. He gave it to you. It's in your heart. You do not have a red light or a yellow light. You have a green light. They had a green light finally to go forward, if they would take it. Now hang on. In the light of that, and therefore God requires we share the heart. You have to have a heart. Israel had no heart. God said they didn't have a heart. God was looking at the heart. The heart is the secret. The heart is the key. And you can't go in, and you can't go in to the land, a land to possess it. You got to go in, giving it, getting it is one thing. Giving you have something is some one thing. Having you exercise and use it for benefits, that's another. You can have a refrigerator full of food, a table well set, but if you don't eat that food, you got nothing. Nothing. God, it has to be possessed. Therefore, Joshua 1:3, remember, we shared together, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you, as I said to Moses. So here they are going to cross over and in the land, and God has given them this land to walk in newness of life in a most wonderful way. And God has set them free from judgment. The judgment has taken place in regard to the penalty for not going into the land. 40 years has taken place. And they now can proceed forward, as we said. And in going forward, they are going to take the land that God has already given them. So it isn't something they're going to get. Now remember, keeping in mind, you're going to have the, in verse 4, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, unto the land of the Hittites, unto the great sea, Mediterranean, unto the going down of the sun, east and west, I've given you. Now, remember now, we share together, that in calculating that, roughly, it's about 300,000 square miles, that piece of property. Here's little Israel squashed. But Israel, God gave them this huge piece of property. Now, in order to get what 300,000 square miles means, it's bigger than your yard. You understand? If you take all of New England, add Pennsylvania, and add New York, that's 174,000 square miles. That's 174,000. That's according to the Almanac. Do you understand? That's a big piece of property, isn't it? God, you gave Israel 300,000 square miles. Wow. I don't know how big. I didn't figure out where 300,000 is. Now, in the light of that, they're going to go forward because they have a green light, and we share together as believers that we know what? Well, there's no condemnation. Do you know that? I do. You know it. Romans 8. In fact, I'm not even going to... I want you to see it again. Over to Romans chapter 8. No, stop at chapter 5 first. Romans chapter 5. Romans 5 and in verse 9. We're looking at the green light. God, what have you done for us when Christ died on the cross? I finished something. I finished the wonderful possibility for you to have life. Verse 9. Much more then, being now justified declared righteous by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Wonderful, wonderful God, you have gone and justified, you have paid the price. Over to chapter 8 of Romans, and in verse 1. In the light of that price being paid, penalty paid, there is no condemnation. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. A wonderful, wonderful freedom. Therefore, if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, John 3, 18 and 19, we are not condemned. Christ has been condemned for sin. He paid the punishment, the penalty. And you and I are set free. And if we would believe and if we would trust, then we, the minute, the very second, you surrender your heart to the saving grace of God, you begin. You have no more delays, no matter what kind of mess, no matter what kind of life, no matter what it is. The minute you turn to God with your heart, it's new. It's all finished. God has already given you something that you need to get, which is life. I already gave it to you. You need to possess it. You need to exercise it. And it doesn't come for nothing. You're going to have to be able to do it. Verse Joshua, if I can. Joshua 1 and in verse 5. There shall not, Joshua 1, 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. There's no opponent, no obstacle, no opposition that will stop you from fulfilling my will for your life. No one, anywhere, anyhow. Hang on. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. So it was a wonderful thing. That's why we read, Moses, you gave us all that information. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail to reduce to fragments, to destroy. I will not fail thee. I nor forsake thee. Word forsake, to let go, to leave behind, to leave helpless. God, can we count on your commitment to be who you are in your grace and mercy? Absolutely. Absolutely. Therefore, if we can count on you, God, you're going to be faithful to your faithfulness. No question about who you are. None. God, are you going to be anything less than you are? No. You can't be anything more than you are. You're everything. All right? Now, therefore, since you, I'm going to, Israel, are you going to count on God? Absolutely. Therefore, verse 6, be strong and of good courage. I'll just stop there to get it. Be strong and of good courage. Are you going to count on me? I am. Therefore, you need to be strong and of good courage. Because your old nature is not going to go along with growing and going and glowing, G-L-O-W. It's not going to go with it. The world system doesn't want you to take and be in their territory and shed light in the darkness and life in the midst of death. They don't want that. The world system is totally against you winning. The satanic system supervises and supports the world system against you winning. Your old nature is cursed by being in bondage to it. So Joshua, people, you have to understand, you can't be go just, I gave you the land. But in order to take it in this time, in your time on earth, you're going to have to be strong and of good courage, because everything's against you. Think, another way to say it. Now, I know you all do the best you can. True? Do you do the best you can all the time? The best you can. That's what I want to know. Do you do the best you can all the time? Now, how much effort is it for you to do the very, very best you can at any given moment? How much effort? Further, to give God the credit and honor and glory completely, you're going to trust Him with all your heart. How easy is that for you to do? It's not easy, is it? It's hard. It's your old nature. And unless you're strong and of good courage, you aren't going to overcome that. You aren't going to overcome. You're just going to go along like we do because we're used to it, a habit, how we do things. God, what are you trying to tell Israel? What are you trying to tell Joshua? There's no way to have all that God has given. You want His peace? Strong and of good courage. You are not going to get it for nothing. Everything's against you having that kind of peace, that kind of assurance, that kind of, as we shared with the Sunday school and the Lord, the wonderful head of your life is Lord, is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And there's nothing anywhere, anyhow, about anyone that He is not Lord of. There's no one moment on the highway with all the ice and stuff that He isn't Lord. No one second in your life that He's not Lord of everything in you, around you, and about you. He is Lord. That's a wonderful thing. You can't possess that and enjoy that unless you're strong and of good courage. It isn't going to happen. You can say it, it bloops right out the window. You've got to go for it. Possess it. You have to do it. And thus, God, what are you telling them? They got to be strong and of good courage. And if they aren't, they aren't going to have it. That's all. And it's repeated, you know. In verse 7, only be thou strong and of good courage. Verse 9, be strong and of good courage. Verse 18, the end, be strong and of good courage. And you're going to, and you said it in Deuteronomy, you warn them over and over again, be strong and of good courage. What'd you tell them? They weren't even in the land yet. Without being strong and in good courage, it's going to, you're going to go, it's, you're not going to get it. You got to go after it in God's good will. Now, in the process, you have the word strong, which has to do with binding firmly together, to twist things together, to stretch a piece of rope around a package and pull it tight and tie it in a knot. To stretch rope, to tie a package tightly, tightly, wonderfully, strong together, to bring things together tightly, tightly. Hang on, we're going to put that for you, negatively and positively. Now, and of good courage is the other word, as both are commands, by the way, to do them, and to be sharp, to be valiant. It's used of color, a deep, deep red that is so deep and brilliant, dazzling. When you look, you can't miss it. That's the word. To be sharp, bold, vigorous, clear, dazzling, of the mind. To have a mind, a heart set, a mindset. To be sharp, a sharp in your mind, wide awake, courageous. That means fully awake, very clear to you. Yet you aren't dull or dead or immobile. Yet you're very clear in your thinking. Therefore, I tie everything together, and it's very clear what you're doing and why you're doing it. Be strong and of good courage. Now, let's see how that goes. In order to exercise that, we can say it. It's one thing to say it. Now, remember, Israel's able to go forward, and they are not, as they go forward, you want to remember this for your own heart, when Israel was going forward, they could never have their life again. When they would go forward, it would never be like Egypt again. They want it to be, but it isn't going to be. And it'll never be like the wilderness. Never again. Never again. Not like that. Oh, you can have a disconnect from God and be like in the wilderness. But you can never have God. You have a wonderful plan for Israel. And it involves going forward. In Egypt, Israel existed as slaves to serve the will of the Egyptians. In the wilderness, Israel served as sheep, going around and around and around and around, being kept by God's grace. That's what they did. But they aren't going to have any of this anymore. It's new. What's going to happen is new, all different. And unless you're strong and of good courage, you're not going to get it. It ain't going to happen. Because you're looking for things you're used to, that you live in. And it isn't going to be like that. It's going to be new. God, the whole world's different. You know it. When you get saved, how long before, when you come to know the Lord as your personal Savior, how long before you come to know, how long before it happens that 2 Corinthians 5:17 takes place? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. All things have become new. How long? How many years does it take? Once you get saved, how many years before you become new? How many months before you come new? New. When did it happen to you that you became new? Now that newness is going to be a whole nother whole world of looking at everything, at yourself and the whole world you live in. And unless you're strong and of good courage, you're just not going to know it. You're just going to slide along, and that's all you're going to do. And people need to know that. Our Lord warned them of that. He said, don't be offended at what's going to happen. You're in the world. The world is opposing you. The world isn't happy with you. You're going to discover you have an old nature, and your old nature isn't happy with being a new nature, being saved. It isn't happy with Christ in you. The satanic system certainly isn't happy. So God, here we are, and here's Israel. They're in the land to pursue and to possess their place and position, their wonderful power to do so. Israel is in there, and they are. You didn't change anything. Exodus chapter 19, 5, 6. You are. Israel is God's peculiar, special, personal, private property. Above all nations, a peculiar, wonderful people, a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. Is that true of Israel now over there? Yes, it is. But you know what? They aren't enjoying it. Because they didn't believe. Remember Israel's 40 years in the wilderness? And now we've got a couple of thousand years. Israel's over there. Now they're waiting. And God is going to do His thing in His wonderful, wonderful grace, dear friends. But in doing so, Israel has a wonderful assignment, but they aren't doing it. Why? Because they weren't strong and of good courage. Now, in order to put that together a little bit, would you go over with me, please, to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Remember, you can't have God's good will without God. You can't have anything God gives without God. You can't have it without God. You say, I want peace. You got to have God. You want joy. You got to have God. You want power. You got to have God. You got to have Him. That's all there is to it. You can't do it without God. God has to be honored. And the flesh does not want to honor God. It doesn't want to honor. And therefore, unless you're strong and of good courage, it isn't going to happen. So here, Deuteronomy chapter 31, picking up in verse 6, you're going to tell Joshua ahead of time, I am. Be strong. This is, by the way, this is to Israel. Look at verse 1. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. Now slide down, verse 6. Be strong and of good courage. There's the words. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. Why? For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go before thee. He doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Well, that's what you said to Joshua. That's right. And now, that's to the nation. Now to Joshua. And verse 7. Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him, in the sight of all Israel, what are you going to tell Joshua? What's your leader supposed to be? Strong and of good courage. What kind of leader? He has to set the example. Go for it. And have it. Verse 7. Be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Verse 8. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before you. Uh-huh. He will be with you. Uh-huh. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Now, what kind of words, language do you want? You got to go. There's no red lights. There's no yellow lights. You say, well, I goofed in my life. So what? Goofing is a human thing. Failing. More failure than success. We'll look at that tonight. Wow. But God, no matter how much you fall down, didn't you already take care of it? I did. Then get up and go. You can't sit there and your laurels. Remember, pity, P-I-T-Y, is that how you spell that? Pity is pride standing on its head. Is that an easy way to help you? Wow. Can't do that. So God, here we are looking, and I want a negative example. To Joshua and the people were to be strong. There's no way to do it unless you're going to be strong. And you're going to be strong because God gave it to you and God said it. And therefore, since God is behind it, you're going to put your hand out to take what God's going to put in it. God already has his hand out. You put your hand to get what he has. Now, so therefore, in Exodus chapter 9, Exodus in chapter 9. Picking up, if I may. Exodus chapter 9. And now, here's the negative. I want to give you the negative so you can get the positive of this whole being strong and of good courage. So here in Exodus chapter 9, you would recall, where to start for time's sake. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, and tell him, thus saith the Lord, God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. Verse 2. If thou refuse to let them go, wilt hold them still. Do you see the word hold them? That's the word we're going to look at, to hold, to bring all the pieces together, and you're not going to let go. You're going to put it all around you. You're going to bring them all together, not around God, around yourself. You're going to hold them in place so they can't go anywhere. And in the process now, over, if you would, verse 11. And the Egyptians, remember in the plagues, could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. You see the word hardened, that's the word strong. Be strong and of good courage. And now you're going to say it differently. Harden, strong. Only this time it's negative. Instead of being tight and bringing everything together, you're bringing it together in your pride all around yourself. And you're trying to keep yourself going in every way you can down the corridor of time. And you're trying to collect everything so you don't worry about it. No one's going to hurt me. No one's going to do that. And down the corridor we go to harden the heart. Pharaoh, what were you doing? Are you going to yield to God? God told the Israelites, I'm giving you this. Be strong and of good courage. Come and take it. Pharaoh, what are you doing? God tells you to do something, and God will honor you, Pharaoh, but you aren't going to do it. No, you're going to make it all come around you, and you aren't even going to listen to God. And like we read in Sunday school, I don't know the Lord, I don't know your God, and I don't know him. That's what Pharaoh said. I don't want to know him. God said, you are going to know me. Everyone's going to know me. I don't want to. You will. You will. Now, watch. Chapter 9, verse 11. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And sliding down, if I can. Verse 13. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning, stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. And Pharaoh isn't going to do it. Nope. He's going to, instead of yielding to God, what God wanted, to his will, his word, his way, Pharaoh was going to turn away negatively. Verse 14. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, because I don't have your heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, reason, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. There's no one like who I am. Verse 15. And now I will stretch out my hand, and I will smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. Verse 16. And in every deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show God, why did you let Pharaoh, of all the different pharaohs, here's this one. That's right. God, you allowed this Pharaoh to be in power when Israel is exited. Not another Pharaoh, this one. Why, God? Why? Here's the Egyptians believing in their gods. Verse 16 again. For in every deed, for this cause I have raised up, for to show thee in thee, Pharaoh, my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. Because what's going to happen, all the world is going to know. What they do with it is something else, but I'm going to do something wonderful in the Red Sea and all of that. Verse 17. As yet exalteth thou thyself against my people, that thou will not let them go. You don't want to let them go. Nope. Chapter 10. The Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servant, that I might show that what reason? Why'd you do this, God? You could have just clipped Pharaoh and knocked him right out of the picture at square one, couldn't he? You would have saved a whole lot of time. He could have just eliminated Pharaoh. He could have eliminated the Egyptians, but he didn't. Why? I want to show something. I want to take the situation, the mood, the movement, the manner of people, and I want to use it to glorify myself. Thus, chapter 10, verse 1, I should say. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him. In other words, I'm going to let 10 plagues go by. Why not just one dramatic plague? Nope. They're all dramatic, but they're all dynamic. Wow, but I'm going to do the last one, the 10th one, the last one. Now, and picking up, if I can, in verse 2. And that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and in thy son's son, what are you going to tell him? What things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them. Why? That you may know how that I am the Lord. Think of Sunday school. I want you to know who I am. Pharaoh said, I don't want to know. God said, you must know. There's no other God, no other Savior, none whatsoever. So now, looking at that and keeping that in mind, and you can keep going with it, and you'll see it. One other place, why not? Chapter 18. That's a negative now. Pharaoh, God, being strong again, negatively, not positively. He's not being strong kind of God. He's being strong in himself. Chapter 18, if I can, in verse 10. And Jethro said, Blessed be the Lord, who hath delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, out of the hand of Pharaoh, who hath delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Jethro to Moses. Now, I know, what do you know, Jethro? That the Lord is greater than all gods. For, how come? For in the thing which they have dealt proudly, he was above them. So in all their, you can't go, I'm not going to let them go, I'm going to hold them tight, I'm not going to let them go, no one's going to take them out of my hand. And God did. They were very proud in bucking God. But they lost. They lost. Jethro said, hey, you know, I wasn't sure about your God, Moses, but I just watched and I said, man, is he something else? Absolutely. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, to be hardened by opposing God, to hold fast, not to yield negatively. On the positive side of the coin, to be strong, fastened together, to tie together, twist together, bring together. Not in pride. Pride wraps it around oneself, twisting, wrapping everything. No, pride. Pride takes all the things in your life and brings them. And who's in the center? Self is. So we bring them all together and work out whatever we're doing. That's pride. But God, you hate pride. So therefore, you come along, and what are you going to do? Well, the person that yields to God positively is going to have to be strong. And they're going to yield. And when they yield, they're going to, because God, are you giving? Are you caring? Are you with us? Then yield to me. Honor me. Honor my wonderful power, presence, purpose, plan. Honor it. And thus, to twist fast together, to bring yourself, bring everything to me, around me. Lock everything around me, if you would. Now, like the ship being docked, you take the rope and wrap it around to hold the ship in place. Wrap everything around me, said God. Now, quickly to see it. Over, if you would, Psalm 27. Here's the positive side. We don't want to be negative about it. We want to be positive. And you got to be strong. I don't want to be strong in the wrong way. I want to be strong in the right way. And so here, looking in Psalm 27, David's going to give it to us. Verse 14, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And when you're waiting, intently waiting on the Lord, on the Lord, that's right, L-O-R-D, Be of good courage. There's your word. Be of good courage. And he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to wait on God. We'll look to God, trust God in the midst of it. And remember, David's saying in verse 7, 27:7, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And God, David's yielded. That's right. He's going to honor God. God, what do you have and what do you want? I want your will and your way and your time for your honor and your glory. And I'm going to wait. And I'm going to have to be, David said, of good courage. Good courage. I may be all alone. Verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Oh God, lead me in a plain path. Verse 11, because of mine enemies. God, how am I going to make it? You aren't. Everything's against you, except I am for you. Therefore, you got to be strong and of good courage and go forward. You're going to have to take everything and twist it. Twist it around me. Over to chapter 31. Psalm 31. Psalm 31, please. In verse 24, David again, quickly. 31, 24, two words together. Be of good courage. David, is that what you're going to say? And he, God, shall do what? Strengthen your heart, all ye that are hoping in the Lord. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to look to you and hope to you to work out everything. And thus we're waiting on you. And we're being strong and of good courage. We ought to be. And God, you're going to strengthen the heart that seeks you. That's right. You go for it. Easy to get. Philippians 2:12. Work out your own salvation with what? Fear and trembling. Now, that's what you got to do. Yours, strong and of good courage. Here, second, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of what? His good pleasure. I need to be strong and want it. And God is going to make it happen. Because if I wrap myself around to bring things together, to tie things up tight, to tie the package up tight, God, I'm going to wrap myself around you. God, you're here to do it. So God, I can do it as my Lord and Savior. Thus, be strong and of good courage and be fully expectant. Oh, in closing, over if you would, all kinds of places, and time is gone. But if I had to pick one, which is hard to do, I would pick 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Remember, God is going and looking for the heart that would honor him. God's doing it. 1 Samuel chapter 30. You know it, a wonderful section. Remember we did Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Remember David in Ziklag, and in the process everything has gone not the way it should. David in part is at fault. But in the process the enemy comes in and takes, well, David's out on the wrong end of things. David comes back, and in the process they have gone and taken captive and his all the men's wives, possessions, children, they're all there. And David comes back, having been dismissed, having not been able to go with them. He's dismissed and comes back. And as he comes, chapter 30, verse 2, they have taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any. They took them all captive, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. God, you could have had some of them killed, but you didn't. And the enemy took them, and there they go. And verse 3, so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Right. Boy, what a sad time. And the reaction of the men and the people that came with David, his army. Verse 6, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Why? Because the soul of the people was grieved and saddened, and every man for his son and for his daughters. They were all upset. Now, David, what on earth would you do? They want to kill you. You got nothing. You've lost everything. You've been dismissed. You were in the wrong place. You've been dismissed. You're living in a terribly, terribly situation. I am. David, what are you going to do? Well, what did David do? David, verse 6, encouraged himself. David encouraged himself. It's reflexive. It's the word strong. David brought all the pieces together and tied them tight. Here's all the men with all their wives and children. And David took that and he wrapped it around God. And he thought of his stoning and they're going to kill him. And he has no power and he has no way to be sure of anything. So when he wrapped all the things he would worry about and be governed by and distraught by, he brings them all together. And he brings them all together around God's wonderful person. And all of a sudden, all that seemed so dark, there's light. And all that seemed so wrong, there's right. And when nothing looks like it's going to come out for good, there's wonderful life. L-I-F-E. God. David encouraged himself. David couldn't fix everything. He couldn't fix any of it. But God can. God, you gave Israel the land. And what do they need to do? What does anyone need to do to have what you have for them? They've got to be strong and of good courage or you'll never have it. And you can't be passive. No, active strength. Do you do that? That's what it takes. You want God's grace? Then go for it. You want God's good? And I know you get tired and everything. I understand all that stuff. I do. I understand the heaviness of just being alive. But boy, I'm going to have to, even when I'm, whatever, be strong and of good courage. Roll up your sleeves. Stay alert. Have a clear cut looking at it. And remember, God, there's nothing bigger than you. There's nothing more than you. I'm going to wrap myself around you. God, that's what I'm going to do. God, I'm going to trust you. How much? With all of your what? All of your heart. That's what I'm after. Your heart. That's what made David so great. He was a man after what? God's heart. God found a man who wanted his heart. What do you want? God's heart. When you have God's heart, you have God's love, life. You have everything. Don't you? Wow. You've got to be strong. Well, no, you do. No, I don't ask you to lift weights or do something. I don't care anything. I want you to understand, strength, power is in your mind. Remember that. You want to, you have all the illustrations. The strong is in here, the heart. Strong. That's where you win. It isn't because you could have feeble hands, but a strong heart. Wow. Anyway, our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness and patience. And God, thank you that you have told us not to be worried about the world system, about all the problems that come our way, the foes and obstacles and opponents, about all the stuff, our God, that and our own laziness and littleness and old nature. God, thank you for your grace and kindness to make everything new if we would but go for it. God, there's nothing stopping us, stopping anyone from being saved. There's nothing stopping anyone from getting up and looking to you with all their heart and finding your grace and your mercy. There's nothing stopping our growing and going and trusting you so that no matter what we do, our God, we're to honor you in anything we do simply because you're our God. The world says we don't know you, but God, we want to be among those that do. We want to honor you in the world in which we live. in these bodies which you live. God, thank you very, very much. Help us to learn well. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you for that. And you may have, we're going to sing a stanza or two of number 610. 610.